Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation,
are you ready for the foot?
Baby, just win, baby. Feel the storm of the cold autumn wind, baby. It's the Oakland Raiders, get your mouthpiece. You in the black hole with the black beast. This ain't black gold, this is black silver. Commitment to excellence, we deliver. And we'll play past regulation. It's the invasion of the Raider Nation.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation,
are you ready for the football?
Raider Nation is united. When they see them pirates, fans get excited.
Get excited.
The opposition get quiet. When I hit the field with my eye patch and my shield, the silver and black will attack, will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
The silver and black will attack,
will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go.
Just win, baby. The Oakland Raider Nation moved to Las Vegas. Las Vegas Raiders are the same. Could be Las Vegas A's soon. More difficult to say. Welcome to the GLC, last weekend, April 2023, and it's a crazy weekend. We have football, basketball, baseball, hockey, all in the same weekend. Great time for football fans and draft day. We have Michael and Tony coming in about 40 minutes so we can do some draft picks. We're in the third or fourth round now as the NFL draft continues. It's about another hour. We're going Friday nights. Friday nights. Women's basketball coach, Tiuna Hendricks, Bermuda Hendrix resigns from Miami, Ohio. Basketball coach.
Every time.
Congratulations to the Sacramento Kings. Great team. And I am very impressed with the speed of the Sacramento Kings. They're wearing the Warriors out. The age is beginning to show on the Warriors. Just like the Lakers, the age is beginning to show on the Lakers. The Lakers did a smart move. We'll get into that later. As we go back to the Warriors, the Warriors did not show up for Game 6. And the Kings put a beat down on them. It wasn't the way, it wasn't the loss, it was the way they lost. The Kings outran the Golden State Warriors. They out-rebounded it. And the Warriors, once again, if you watch the Warriors game, if the Warriors make 16 or more turnovers, they do not win the game. Last night they had 22 turnovers. They lose the game 118-99 with Monk and Box doing the damage. Once again, it was a 10 match. Mike Brown changed the lineup. The counter what Kerr did on Thursday night. Well, Wednesday night. Now, Kerr has the counter move on Sunday afternoon. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I think the Warriors are going to win, but it's going to be a close game. The Lakers blow out the Memphis Grizzlies right from the start. They play around. LeBron James, 21 points. Russell, 21 points. And the big factor was AD. Davis ruled the bait. And when Davis plays, the Lakers win. When number 3 is not interested in the game, they lose. So they move on and they play the winner of the Golden State Warriors and Sacramento Kings. Sunday also starts the Boston Philly series. And I think Boston has the edge. It depends on what Embiid and Harden does, but Maxey has to take out the slack because Embiid is injured, so because of how that goes. Game 1, Sunday afternoon, Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Okay, baseball. Oh, we gotta take a shout out to these guys.
Yes, sir.
Go Knicks.
Let's go, Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Let's go, Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Let's go, Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Hey, go New York, go New York, go.
It's
been 40 long years and we're starving. But mad props to Amari for starting the party. Now Mel's filled the plate and Tyson's taking out the garbage. Yeah, it's the new look Knicks. We brought along Kid, he's got a bottle of tricks. Cammy and Kurt are back to fight. Cause once you're a Knick,
you're a Knick for life.
This is the year we get first place.
What?
Novak for three.
Even with no space.
Try and take it to the basket. Tyson will leave you in a casket. And if the defense makes a mistake, then bam, JR dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss.
We are New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Got the boys back to basics. Don't leave JR alone. Ray and Tyson reminiscing of Stockton and Malone. Last year was a struggle on that playoff bubble. Thank God we got small, signed that discount double. And Melo's got J's for days. And the chips are locked if he plays like he does in 2K. If veterans get you rings, then Sheed, Thomas, and Kid better bring me some bling. Cause it costs $1.50 just to sit in the stands to watch the wins tick quick like Pablo's hands. Us Knicks fans got swag like snapbacks. It's a wrap once we get chumping stat back. So put three to your head, one of the sky. Knicks 2012, the ball don't lie. Yeah.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Us back when the Knicks showed pride. This is the time to bring it back, yo. We got Shumpert, Brewer, Sheed, and Melo with the Knicks, and you're gonna need an army to stop the pick and roll with Felton and Amari. We draw charges and we set picks.
We are New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Let's go Knicks.
The New York Knicks. Man, Miami Heat. Very interesting matchup. Who is going to guard Butler? Is Randall healthy enough to win? It's going to be interesting. I want to see the New York Knicks play defense against the Miami Heat. Milwaukee couldn't do it. The question is, can New York do it? We will see. It's going to be interesting because over on the other side, today or later in the afternoon, Denver Nuggets take on the Phoenix Suns. I like this series. The winner will be beat up. Kevin Durant against Jokic. Booker, I want to see who's going to guard Booker. I think Denver is a fraud. We will see later on today. ABC, Denver, and Phoenix. Okay, moving on. Great day today, great day today. With all of major sports in action today. We'll be right back. Dodgers and Giants. Want to take a break?
Yeah, Yes, sir. How you doing?
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I wanted to ask, when the Colts drafted Anthony Richardson, how many GMs and team owners do you think dropped the deuce in their pants at the same time?
Repeat that question again, sir.
How many general managers, team coaches, and owners of companies they poop their pants when they find out that Anthony Richardson went to the Colts?
Why do you want to put on the owners and general managers? What was the problem with this player?
No, Anthony Richardson is a terrifying player, my friend. And with him as our quarterback, Jonathan Taylor as our ridiculously strong running back, if we can build up the O-line, man, the Colts are going to be kind of like the most terrifying team in the league.
The Indianapolis Colts are a complete mess. Until they get a general manager that nobody's doing, they will always be in that place.
Well, why was that? Why was that, though, my friend? It was because the O-line was always terrible.
No, the Colts need to change their culture image. Their image is terrible. When you have a culture image in the locker room, you have a problem. Hello?
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I'm gonna go ahead and blame that entirely on the O-line, and I'm so happy that we have a quarterback. I'm a Colts fan, so I just wanted to throw that in the air.
Well, what do you think the Colts are gonna do? How are you gonna do this year?
I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs because it's a rookie quarterback. Peyton Manning still has the record for most interceptions thrown as a rookie quarterback.
Peyton Manning also two or three years to maybe go to LT, is that correct?
Peyton Manning was the only actual rival of Tom Brady. Nobody else actually held a flame to that.
And who drafted Peyton Manning?
Who's better than Peyton Manning? Tom Brady.
But who drafted Peyton Manning? Who was the general manager of the Colts when he drafted Peyton Manning?
Sir, I have no idea. That was back in 1999. I was 9 years old.
And see, that's why. See, the Colts need to keep repeating this. They need to change their image. This may be the beginning of it, but they need to change their image.
Yes, sir. I think Anthony Richardson is the best way to possibly do that right now.
Okay,
I would have happily taken Hooker from Tennessee, but we got Richardson, so.
Well, I would take Hooker because I think he has a better arm, a much better arm. That's my own opinion. I think he has a better arm
and better leadership qualities too. But you know, if you take a Gator from Florida, you're just gonna have to live with that, even if it makes no sense in Indianapolis.
I'm not a Gator fan, so that's a whole other issue altogether. Anything
yes,
you got to
know about?
Anything else?
Oh, no, sir. No, I just wanted to throw that out there. No, sir. That's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you for going here. All right. Before we address the elephant in the room, the NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs, with their Native American
Do you know why you shouldn't do that?
Yeah, why is that, sir?
I come from Champaign, Illinois. It's the University of Illinois, UICU.
Yeah, I went to school. I went to school at Southern Illinois University.
Yes, sir. And we had Chief Alinowick. Chief Alinowick brought everybody together. And then a bunch of people complained. And then, you know what I think is terrible? Is that we keep erasing Native American culture. We
No, you don't.
Yeah.
If you want to respect Native Americans, you need to honor them in the right way. The Gays need to do that. You know that Native Americans are the only mad god in the country. Why is that, sir?
We're not when we have them as symbolism for our sports team, it keeps them way more alive. You want to put a museum up for them in Cleveland when they removed the Indians? You want to put a museum up for something here in Champaign, Illinois? No, we remember people because, like,
can
nobody's going to Google
okay,
search.
Can you name a black simple A-sport team? No. Can you name any Latino A-sport team? No. Can you name any Chinese sports team? No. Why is it the only one in Native Americans? Why?
No, that's not true. Why? How are the Boston Celtics any different than any sports team named after Native Americans? I'm Irish.
The Boston Celtics is a leprechaun.
We have a bunch of Irish people, we have a bunch of Scottish people and Welsh people all over the world right now. Millions upon millions.
Is a real person? Sir?
Yes, sir.
Is a leprechaun a real person? No. Right?
I do not want the Native Americans to be forgotten.
If you put them in the history books, if you put them in museums, I am a Native American. I am a Lenape Indian. Okay? So don't tell me about bad guys in the United States. Okay? The Washington Football Club, it took 45 years to get that name off of the Washington Football Club. That name is a racist name.
Which name is racist?
The Washington Football Club.
The Kansas City Captain?
Why?
No, that's old. The concept of a chief is old. A chieftain, that's a very old concept. That's what we put on people. They didn't...
When you paint your face red and wear headbands as a mockery of the Native Americans, you're mocking them. I don't like that.
I don't want to mock anybody's culture, my friend. No, sir. I want to embrace that and bring that into... Because if you're... The entire concept of America is we're a bunch of weirdos that fall under one natural order, under one flag, and we bring in a bunch of different cultures, and we take the best parts of them and leave the worst parts of those cultures aside.
The Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Braves, sooner or later, will remove their name. It might take another 3 or 4 years, longer be the Kansas City Chiefs or Atlanta Braves. It's going to come sooner or later, right? I'm just telling you right now, this is coming to an end.
Yes, sir, but are you fighting for the same thing for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the Boston Celtics and all the teams all across them? This is a ridiculous endeavor. I don't want anybody to be forgotten. And the more that we take figures when it comes to the Native American people out of it, we already canceled the Land of Lakes lady. Like, we shouldn't,
we already canceled the Chief Illiniwek. Let me tell you, sir. In 2007, we had 5,000 schools with the R word as their mascot. I refuse to use the R word, okay? The R word is the most racist name on the planet. But yet, the Washington Football Club probably offers the R word. And you're telling me that's okay.
No, sir. Well, I'm sorry. What is the R word?
Redskin.
I don't even. That's not in my normal.
5,000 schools in this country had the R word in 2007. Okay? In 2023, we have only 250. Why is that, sir?
The thing that should be important is what you want from other people and what everybody should want for each other.
What culture are you? What nationality
American.
Are you?
What? I'm American.
No, what, your German, French, English, what nationality are you?
What nationality, like what ethnicity am I?
Yes.
Scotch, Irish, and Scandinavian.
Okay, so you're a mix.
No,
well,
I'm American.
Well, I'm telling you, sir, this. You cannot have bad guys of people. The Fighting Irish, they can do what they want to do because they're a majority. When you pick a minority, what you're doing, with the Washington Football Club, you can't do it. Can't do it.
Yes, sir. And I'm telling you right now, I do not wish any harm upon anybody, but the only way that a lot of these things stay alive in people's memories is to have them as symbols. You're not going to have a bunch of people showing up to a museum for Navajos. You're not going to have a bunch of people showing up to museums for the Inuits. You go up to Alaska, you're not going to find anybody who's going to pay to go visit that museum. I want people to understand the history all the time. I want people to look at...
What are history books for? What is that for?
Knowledge.
It's for memories. It's for writing down the past. Look, as a Native American, I don't want to see the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. I'm done with that. I don't want to see the Atlanta Braves anymore. I'm done with that.
Why?
Over.
Why?
It's not respect. When you have
it's not respectful.
The game
you're
the
telling
race,
me that you take personal offense to this.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Why?
Because my people did not do that. That's
your
why.
People, you're American, my friend. Your people
I'm
are
Native
my
American.
People.
I am Native American. I am the original American. I am the original.
Yes, I'm not disputing that at all. I'm saying you're American. We fall under one flag. We are one people.
White guys walking in the stadium with red face and addresses.
You understand if I said that about you, I'd be racist, right?
Get out of here!
No, come on, buddy. I'm not trying to say that about anybody. I'm saying that we fall under one flag. We are one people. We are on this soil, and by default, you and I are neighbors. We should look out for each other. We should care about each other.
Okay.
We should understand and learn about each other's histories and then move forward.
All right. I want to thank you for coming on the show, but I got to move on. Because we got NFL draft show and I need to move on. Thank you for calling. Hope you're calling back in again.
Take care of yourself, brother.
All right, take care, brother. All right, moving on. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is now in New York Jets, and with multiple draft choices, he will wear number 8. Is Calvary going to bear number? Jordan Love will now start for the Green Bay Packers. Trey Lance, it says he's going down in limbo. As Purdy will take the great job in the city. Lamar Jackson finally gets a contract. The Baltimore Ravens. We got the evil one. I was thinking of that. What's up? Michael Lewis.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right. I was listening to the last bit of conversation, and you both made good points. You got to understand, as we say this, with the draft being held in Kansas City, with the Chiefs being among the more popular franchises in the league now,
yep,
you've got a hell of an uphill fight. Because
I know it, man.
I know you're not afraid of the odds or any of that stuff. What I'm saying
Michael,
is,
this didn't become an issue again. This did not become an issue again until Kansas City won the Super Bowl and began winning deep. Nobody can run the right ass as long as they were losing. They started winning and all of a sudden, see, that's what bothered me about this. It's like, you know they were there. And you know, it's like, come on.
They know it's there. They know it ain't going nowhere. You got to understand, the NFL is making money hand over fist.
Yep.
I mean, they're making big-time buku cash off of this.
Yep.
People now operate with the mindset that if they get the draft, it's like getting a Super Bowl. Because Super Bowl's only average. Only divided between 8 or 10 cities at the most. Now, everybody
Michael,
can get...
And this is why I tried to get over to this guy. I tried to get this guy to understand. Why would the NFL, that's stupid, okay? Why would the NFL send a memo to the Kansas City Chiefs telling them, do not let people in that place with red face and headgear. They know.
Well, I don't know if it's covering your ass or what, but the bottom line is you already know what is proper and the fans know what's proper. If the league had to give you a memo stating that you can't wear paint, and you can't do this and you can't do that, it should be repeated over the course of months to fans and those who like to
They were saying a memo.
They're not going to stop the chop. I know you find it offensive, but they're not going to stop it. It's in the rhythm now of what the Chiefs do. And whether they say out loud or behind closed doors, don't chop. It's already in the mix. You look at a Chiefs game, you see the kickoff, and people are out there with the drums.
Do you remember back in the 60s when the Kansas City Chiefs scored a touchdown?
Yeah.
They had that guy riding the horse up and down the sidelines.
I remember that, yes.
Do you remember that?
No, it's true. I remember that. I do remember the war paint or whatever the horse's name was. Yes, he ride the and stuff.
It was a palomino horse too, because it had multi-colored.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. But now,
brown,
answer
your question,
white,
brown and white horse. I remember.
You may not like it, but the NFL sees a different, how can I say, revenue stream coming out of this. Because now, you're not just buying T-shirts and caps and what have you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Patrick Mahomes' success has allowed the franchise to go to a different level. And whenever we say a different level, that's usually money.
Yep.
And let's be honest. Nobody ever thought the Chiefs would market as well.
It was small market.
Well, that's my point. Kansas City is not a big market. It's a middle-sized city, just like, say, Baltimore is.
Yeah,
but
arguably,
two of the more exciting players.
They signed Lamar Jackson.
But two of the more exciting players in the league.
Yeah.
Play for Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now, the NFL is doing their promotional thing and trying to decipher how can we make the most of this.
Yep.
And that's what that's about. It's not the how much can we make? You know, if that's really the issue, then it's not going to stop. And if they say the chop, I can honestly believe that they're not saying it with a strong heart. Talking about comparison, the wave is markedly inoffensive compared to the chop.
Right.
Because what are they doing? They're just getting up and swinging in response to the actions of the crowd. There's nothing insulting about that. Actually, for some fans, it's kind of fun. And not myself, but if you're spending $200 a ticket on a game, and you're gonna raise your arms and go wee as the as the parade moves around to the next level, you know, I can live with that. I can live with that.
Michael, what do you think on NBA game last night?
Now, which one?
Golden State and Sacramento.
Well, I've been watching so much lately. I've been up to here in the draft. But Golden State Sacramento is an example of two franchises that have been in the background for a while. Although we know Golden State has gotten success, Sacramento hasn't had success in a long time.
Anything
Sacramento gets is gravy. And I don't know if the Kings have it in them to play Golden State head up and beat them.
Well, they look good that night, man. They did it with speed.
They may have a formula to win one game, but do they have a formula to win four games? That's what this is about.
One more game.
I know. First the four, and then we'll talk. Sacramento has been kind of snake bit over the last few years.
Yeah.
You know?
Because of what happened with the LA Lakers.
Right.
And Shaquille O'Neal day back in 2002. I'll never forget that.
I believe the NBA owes Sacramento a title. I never saw.
I think the Golden State Warriors are going to be the sacrifice for it.
I never saw an issue where cheating was so obvious than with the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings.
They did not want the Sacramento Kings in the finals because it was the New Jersey Nets right then.
You know, if it had been a situation where may the best team win, it's all good. But they made sure that when it came down to crunch time, Sacramento was going to get the hard way to go. And they didn't even hide it. This wasn't artistic. This wasn't where, oh, geez, they're losing their momentum exactly.
No.
The referees took it from them. It was out and out crying. If you had called 911.
I'm wondering if they're going to do the same thing tomorrow afternoon.
If I was at the game, I would have called 911. 911 is an emergency. These motherfuckers are trying to steal this game. And that's exactly what they would have been doing. They would have came up to the arena and arrested every member of the Lakers, especially Shaquille, because that was high crime. That was lawsuit.
Oh, boy.
But you know it's true.
Okay. The top 10 draft picks, I'll go through today. The top 10, Bryce Young goes to the Carolina Panthers. CJ Stroud goes to the Houston Texans. Anthony Richardson, quarterback, goes to Indy.
Right.
Devon Witherspoon goes to Seattle. Paris Johnson Jr. goes to Arizona. Trey Wilson goes to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yep.
Bijan Robinson goes to the Atlanta Falcons. And Jenny yep. Darnell Wright goes to the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. I got a new name for the Eagles.
What?
New name I'm gonna call from now on is the Bird Dogs.
The Bird Dogs.
They got somebody throwing the Bulldogs. And the Bird Dogs.
Well, you know, back in the day before it got somewhat scientific, they used to pick by region. So if you were the Eagles,
right.
Certain areas, that was your territory to pick from. Now, as far as the picks are concerned, the Georgia thing, I mean, it's working. They got Jordan Davis last year, and they pick up this other kid and a linebacker and a safety. They got players that know the system. They know each other, and it will facilitate when they get to the camp or whatever, it will facilitate them working together because they know each other's moves.
When they go to a different city, they will know each other. It helps them to assimilate into the team process.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea bringing guys from the same team. I think it's a good idea.
Listen, I think it's a good idea too, and you got to remember. If we're talking scheme, then a coach wants to know that if I'm going to implement my scheme, I got to have players who match what I want to do.
Players before.
Exactly. Players who understand what I want to do and who are willing to do it.
Yep.
Now, if you look at the Philly defense, they spread themselves out with Davis. He's 360. This other kid, Carter, at defensive tackle.
I think Carter, that was a complete steal. I
agree with you, actually. You know, I see some Jerome Brown and Carter. I think the Eagles are going to have a scary defensive line.
This
is a team that led the league in sacks. And they used their front four. They lost Hargreaves, but they gained Carter. They already know what they're doing. And the fact that they got that down makes it easier for them.
I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles could be 14-4, 15-3, something like that. Because I don't see anybody near him in defense at all.
Gary, I think they just want to get the Super Bowl. If they get to the Super Bowl again, they think they got a shot, and that's all you really want. If you remember in the early days of the Super Bowl, when some teams lost, they would take their note and clean up what it was they were trying to do, and then they come out and win. You know, Miami did it. Dallas did it. There were a couple of teams that saw what we had to do, and they did it. And the next thing you know, they were champions.
Do you know any of the HBCUs that how many people got drafted?
Unfortunately, I'm looking at this as we speak. And
because I see a list. I think a man from Florida A&M, Mark Evans from Arkansas 5 Bluffs, Audrey Miller from Jackson State, Queen Davis from South Carolina State, Curtis Bond from Hampton University, Kamari Everett from Bethune-Cookman, Xavier Smith from Florida A&M,
right.
And Dallas Daniels was at the date. Are any of them ladies?
I can't say no one has out of that bunch, but the thing that I have to wonder about is whether or not when they do the little bios, if they even have been filmed with these guys. Now, we know for years, as we did the draft, tape doesn't lie. You see tape of a player, and you're like, you see, oh, this guy's nice. You know, or who is he playing against? They don't tell you until the last minute, if they tell you at all, who the guy is. And that's the problem. You know, HBCUs don't get a chance to, how should I say, toot their own horn. They think the competition is inferior. And Steve McNair was an aberration because he was, from a small school like that, getting all this attention and putting up these insane numbers that somebody had to say something. They didn't do it out of the goodness of their heart. Steve McNair was chosen because it was like, holy shit, who is this guy? And that's what this was about. And sadly, he really didn't get to show what he could do in the NFL because he had an asshole like Jeff Fisher, you know, guarding him and, you know, protecting, supposedly protecting. But he wasn't protecting his dad. He was protecting his non-coaching ass. Because McGee was known for his arm, and he never got a chance to use it. Not the way you would have thought.
The Vegas Raiders, they got everybody got a GM, nobody knew him. The Vegas Raiders, Mortified their defense. They got, I was like, these guys, Tyree Wilson, but that's his deck. That's going to be a good player. I like him.
I like him too. I like the fact that he's tall and he's got, like they would say, a big wingspan, but Raiders have guys like that before. The Raiders have guys like Ben Davidson and Richard Sly before, tall, lanky, long arms.
What do you think about Byron Young? Is he good?
I can't say he's good. I can't say he's great. What I can say is that they knew he was undersized at 5'10".
That's right.
I had a quarterback that you're paying attention to. Bryce Young was sub 6 feet. All the others, like Richardson and the kids from Ohio State, they were 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". And that's all right. You throw in lanes. And if you can get the ball consistently in a lane, your height is not the problem. And obviously somebody thought Young was consistent enough doing that you'd warrant being chosen number one. So I'm happy for the brother in terms of, yes, you got picked. Better get your bonus. Ironically, we didn't have any of the defamatory bullshit that Cam Newton had in 2011 when he was chosen. So that was a good thing.
We got Tony, Professor, how's Tony now? What's up, man?
How's it going?
Okay.
I guess the first thing we all need to do is apologize to Lamar Jackson and his mom.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Ms. Jackson. Ooh. We are for
real. Yeah, really.
Look,
it's funny. Years ago, and I can beat off, and I can go off of this because of Viacom, I actually saw it. Ray Allen, the former UConn star, he negotiated his, I believe, his rookie contract.
He did. That's right.
So, you know, so I and I get what folks were saying in regards to, well, you know, he probably needs to, you know, whatever. But
well,
here's the thing. I think we all can sometimes get caught up into, well, this is how things have always been and what have you. And I get the thing is at some point you do have to do things differently. Now we've seen both spectrums. We've seen Ricky Williams and Master P, and that didn't work out too well. But we've seen the other side where folks have had non-traditional folks negotiate for them, and it's worked out okay. And I think if nothing else, we all sort of have to be a little more, we have to realize it's a different world now. Good, bad, or indifferent. And look, I never thought he would play for the Ravens again. I think the majority of us felt that way. But that being said, good deal. Now, hopefully they put a few more weapons around him. I mean, no disrespect, Odell Beckham don't move me. That's just me.
I think Odell Beckham changed the paradigm of the Baltimore Ravens. I believe the Baltimore Ravens are going to be one of the best offenses you've ever seen in a long time.
Well, I want to see what their other moves are going to be between now and then, because, him and Aguilar, again, don't move me. My thing is, apparently D-Hop is out there to be had.
Yeah.
Go get him. Go get him yesterday, as far as I'm concerned. Then I'll believe that, okay, you are trying to do some, you could make the case that this was sort of them sort of saving face, in a sense. You could make that.
What do these players have in common? Henry Ellett, Derek Gaffney, Brandon Lloyd, Mike Quick, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, Mike Quick, man.
They had the best hands on their teams.
Absolutely.
DeAndre Hopkins has the best hands in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you got neighborhood hands, you're a receiver. And when I mean neighborhood hands, I'm saying if the ball is in your neighborhood, you catch it.
And those neighborhoods stretch for city blocks for most of them.
If the Eagles got Hopkins, I'd lose my mind, because he is talent wise, from hands alone, he's a Hall of Fame talent.
That's the one thing that Odell Beckham, I wonder about, because I love the guy, but sometimes he dogs, man. Like, what are you doing?
But Gary, and I get that, but take the Miss Prissy attitude out. He's got some mileage now. Yeah. He's got some mileage on him now. He's a year removed from, injury. Yeah, he got his ring. He got his ring, And, you know, I don't take anything away from that. You know, God bless him. You know, but.
And he would have been, MVP if he didn't get it. He would have been MVP.
Sure. Put it this way. His resume, you know, the early part of his career resume is good. But is he going to be a Henry Ellard? Is he going to be a Drew Hill? Is he going to be a Charlie Joyner? That's the thing. Because, see, the thing is, now, correct me if I'm wrong, he wasn't the fastest guy. I mean, he's got speed, but he wasn't the fastest guy coming out anyway.
No, he wasn't.
That's right.
So now he's got to, you know, now he's got to get
make up for it, right?
Will he be able to do that? To me, that's the thing. Because if in August, right now, he got his money on reputation right now. He's on reputation. He's still right now, we've got to see if he's going to take it to the next level. His daddy could put out all the whining and bitching videos, whatever. And he can be open and all the other stuff, but
that's
he's got to be able to see if he can take it to another level as an older player now. He's an older player now. He's not the OBJ, you know. I don't want to pull a Reagan line of, you know, where were you 5 years ago, or you better off 5 years ago, or what have you. But I think we have to with him because of the baggage, like you said. But to me, right now, what's OBJ now? 30.
He's in 30 now. 31.
Okay, so he's still relatively young. You know, I guess the question would be, if you're going to talk about years, does he have another 4 or 5 years left in him?
Mm-hmm.
That's to me, the bigger question is on him, not Lamar. We know what Lamar's done. Lamar's resume is more impressive than arguably any quarterback that's worn that jersey for the Ravens. Exactly. He's right in the middle of his, the sky's still the limit for him.
Talk about the New York Football Giants. Gentlemen, they are in trouble. This is why I say they're in trouble. When you pay your quarterback XYZ dollars and then play Cheapskate with your best player on the team, you got a problem.
Well, the sad thing is that's the norm for a lot of these teams. Although I see where the Lions, I think it was the Lions that drafted a bunch of running backs. And considering that, you know, Goff is basically one potato chip away from doing his best Matthew Stafford impersonation, it probably makes sense for them. Well, you know, no disrespect, but I've never seen a gray and blue lion. And if I ever do, I'm going
to run. What do you think it's going to do? You know, it's like growl, you know, or it'll show you a flag shot.
Maybe belch a little louder.
It's like, that's not striking. Columbia blue is not going to strike fear in my heart. If I see it coming at me, you know, I'm sure there are other lions that would look at that and crack the fuck up and like, that's a lion? You know, but we have to be able to pay attention to what Jerry Jones didn't do in the first round. We saw Dallas was in a situation where it looked as if the white boy was falling right in their laps. at 26. You know, Levis, whatever you want to call himself, was ready to lead the building.
Will Levis?
Yes, he was ready to lead the building as a Dallas Cowboy. And I don't know if it was Stephen Jones or not. He pulled the plug. He said, don't do it. And Dallas passed.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, why did Will Levis drop so far?
What's the question again?
Why did Levis drop so far? He felt like a rock.
Well, I mean, just for me, and I'm willing to eat crow if he wants to be. I just don't think he was. I think he was a product of hype, and I think
for the
first time in quite a while, NFL teams was like, you know what? No. I'm not. You know, they basically turned into Eddie. They basically turned into Eddie Murphy. I'm not gonna fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
That's right.
You know.
But see,
the other thing, and I guess it's more so just progression than anything else. But you know, this was a historic draft because you had, you know, for the first time in quite a while. I think this is the first time ever. Where the first two picks were black quarterbacks, and you had three that were picked in the first five picks. Now I know when Achille McNabb, and Culpepper, they didn't go consecutively, but they all went in the first round. But they went
I believe the richest of all time. Because of fan base.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Fan base, media base, be damned. I think these three teams, even the Texans of all people, are basically saying, you know what? We need to get this right. We truly need to get this right. And the thing is, for them, it basically just came down to, we need to do some stuff. And if we look back on this draft 5 years from now and say that these guys are the Mahomes and the Jacksons and the Wilsons of this draft, then, you know, more power. And I think that they will. To be honest with you, I think these guys will. Matter of fact, when I first called in, you guys were talking about the kid from Bama. Give him some weapons. Because as bad as Carolina really is, they just don't have talent.
Well, the thing about Carolina, if you're black and quarterback, you have to act a certain way. I don't like that.
Well, that being said, but you know what? The one thing that I think we all forgot that in regard to that, when you win, they leave you the hell alone. And see,
that's right.
For all the bombast with Cam and all that other stuff, for the most part, they left Cam the hell alone because Cam won. Remember, Cam took him to a Super Bowl. You know, considering all the quarterbacks they had, him and Jake DeLome are the only two guys that took them to a Super Bowl. And if this kid can do half as well as Cam, because see, Cam, you know, you can make the argument, short as his career was, is that Cam is a Hall of Famer, to me. Just off of his MVP season and his rookie season, and it's not like he put terrible numbers in between those few years, but the thing with him is he comes in now. We all know that historically, Alabama quarterbacks, you know, with the exception of a few in recent vintage, have not fared quite as well in the NFL. But I, you know, maybe this guy is the exception. Let's put it this way: I would like to think that he's got more name of Stabler in him than AJ McCarron and Mac Jones. I'll just leave it.
I think that Bryce Young will be a better quarterback because number one, he stayed there for a while and he learned how to progress.
And I think
that's gonna be a plus. These guys is giving years ago.
Well, it's and also, let's, you know, here's the thing. He's mobile. And see, you know, the one thing that folks still are really having a hard time deal with, you've got to be mobile. You've got to be mobile in this day and age now, and he's mobile. I know now you can make the argument in regard to his arm strength or what have you, but I think, again, he's still a baby. For the most part,
he's still a baby, and you hit on something, Tony, a long time ago. You talked about the devaluing of the running back. Those two factors, coupled with how they choose quarterbacks now, has led us to what we got now. Because we came off the Super Bowl, we saw good performances by both quarterbacks, and we expect more in the future, because the draft of 99 was considered a folly after the first couple of years. You know, the only one who was worth a damn to some of them was McNabb and maybe Culpepper. And ironically, you talk about Culpepper. Culpepper negotiated his first two contracts.
Yeah,
so Culpepper knew what the fuck he was doing. However, This new look with Bryce Young and the other kid from Ohio State is something the league has to get used to. They didn't think it would be like this. There used to be times where there would be serious copies, clones of what other teams used to do. And now the two black quarterbacks made it to the summit.
Yep.
Are they really going to do this? What Houston did may have been out of desperation. What Indianapolis did was definitely out of desperation. You're talking middle of the country and Peyton Manning and all the other stuff. So I don't know what Richardson will have to put up with otherwise. But it's in their face now, and at least the brothers will get paid. And
I hope the brother has a strong. I hope the brother has a strong will because living in the Midwest for 5 years, I can be real bad, man.
Well, see, we'll put it this way: if you win, you know, winning cures a lot of ills. And you know, and I know it's maybe cliche and all that other stuff, but all that being said, I think all three have the potential of being, you know, next generation guys. If you put a gun to my head, as much as I like Young, I really like Richardson. I really like Richardson because he, and maybe this is me, I try not to get into the whole size thing, but I just, you know, I like the fact that he's durable, can move, and he's got some size, and I think that is going to be a thing. Now, I with all of them, the thing I always like to see. To me, the real thing is going to be whether you're talking Lamar in Baltimore or the three new field generals.
Yeah.
What are they going to put around them? Because as Mike has always said, 9 times out of 10 with a lot of these guys, they try to make them to be, you know, super niggas, and when they're not, all of a sudden there's a problem. And there really shouldn't be, it shouldn't be like that. It really shouldn't be like that for them. You know, yes, let's put it this way, and I'll use Young as an example. It took Cam, I believe, his second or third year before they became, I think, I want to say the third year they were a playoff team. And
third
within,
year. You're right.
Yeah, the
you're
third
right.
year they were. So, you know, and let's face it, like, you know, like I said, Carolina's just, they just don't have, you know, they've got some players defensively. They don't have much. So this draft, you know, they don't, and see, now, the one thing differently, you know, you got a different owner and a different GM. So
right.
in that sense, that might be so. So while that, now look, the whole white supremacist vibe is always going to be there because it's the South. But maybe with these guys, it'll be a little different because you know, let's face it, none of us thought that. I thought personally they were going to pick the kid from Kentucky because it feeds their fan base. It gives them, you know, it gives them the face in a sense that they want, not necessarily talent wise, mind you, but to their credit, they went and just said, you know what, this guy can make us win. And
well, I thought when Carolina used it, and he had been the first three guys, I thought Will Levis would be in that first three things.
Well,
when he didn't get drafted, oh, okay.
Well, it's you know, maybe, you know. Look, I'm not ready to have a kumbaya moment or anything like that, mind you. I mean, you still have to sort of, you know, take a step back, appreciate the moment, but take a step back. But see, what have we been saying for years? It's a mindset. More than anything else, it's a mindset in the NFL where they still look at black quarterbacks as subservience. But here's the thing. In college ball, in pro ball, black quarterbacks win.
Yep.
You know, you just had another now imagine if the kid from USC decided to come out this year. So conceivably you would have had possibly maybe four guys picked in the first five in the first five picks. So maybe again, I'm a play CYA on my own self. I'm willing to cover my ass in the sense of maybe these teams, not so much the fans or media or what have you, maybe these teams are starting to realize that, because see, remember, with the exception of the Colts, these are, you know, newer franchises. You know, the Panthers, you know, are new for not new, but they're just they're not from the old traditional. They're not from the traditionally new NFL. Now the Colts are as old school as you can get, but I think, like you said, Mike, we'll know if this was more of a desperation. Than what I personally I think, you know, and again, maybe this is me being too Pollyanna. They have, you know, they've had a decent, you know, look, they've had a very good fan base over the years, but so they've been a little spoiled. You know, they had a Jughead for all those years, and they thought, and then they thought luck.
They thought that they
had it with luck, but in a sense they sort of, you know, he got, you know, I'm still trying to figure out who got beat up more, him or Carr from Houston. He literally got beat down to the white meat, literally to the point where he had to retire. So they, you know, so I think, again, with them, they're like, look, you know, we, willing to maybe being a tad naive, but I'm thinking, you know what? We just want to win again.
Because they're thinking that, Tony, they looked at the film. They all looked at the film just like every team did, and they said, wait a minute, this guy's not that good. You know, they saw what Bryce Young, and they were like, okay, we can justify that. They saw the same with C.J. Stroud, and they said, oh, yeah. They saw Richardson, and they were like, this has potential. But when they got to leave, they were like, this cat can't play. And it's like, you're waiting for something to say, I got to spend the money. And they didn't spend the money. Now, it's one thing if a team doesn't have the money. You're talking about teams that do. They could just as easily pay for Levis like they paid for anybody else. They chose not to. And I have to believe it's because what they saw in Levis was what I saw in Levis in the small sample. The guy's not that good. And because he's not that good, I'm not writing the check.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I guess, you know, again, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that, you know, in a sense, they do just enough so that their fan base doesn't, you know, attack the owner and GM at a Wendy's drive-through, in a sense. So they'll still come to the games. But there are still a lot of franchises, I think, and I think it's more the majority than the minority that want to win. You know, because being mediocre or bad in the NFL, yeah, you'll make some bucks or what have you. And you know, you'll be playing in front of a bunch of empty seats.
Yeah,
and you won't be able to blame COVID for that. The thing is you still want to win, and for the most part, maybe with the exception of Carolina, because Carolina still they still have an identity crisis, I guess, amongst their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Houston's got a fan base strictly because they're in Texas, and you know, they football is big in Texas. Indianapolis, I think, even though we identified them more in Baltimore than Indianapolis, they've carved a little bit of a niche there because of that. And, you know, they are the Colts, maybe we should call them the Mayflower Colts instead of the Indianapolis Colts or what have you, but they're still the Colts. Mm-hmm. And that's a storied franchise.
True.
So we'll see. But I think at the very least, I think we can definitely all say that it was, you know, at this point, it was a good day to see things what happened. Still, I haven't seen HBCU player get picked yet, but I have to admit, I didn't watch as much opening night as I usually do. I'll over it again.
Well, as I've been sitting there listening to you and watching, there was a selection for Wagner in Staten Island and a selection from Old Dominion. And I'm like, damn. So
yeah.
It's of course 7 rounds, so this is where they can go mad scientists and reach a little differently than what they would do. But the bottom line is they made out like bandits. They've all made out like bandits. They just chose somebody from Appalachian State, and I think it's somebody else aside from that.
two people from Appalachian State been chosen. This is where the small schools, the third date is where they make their money. You know, there's no guarantee, but if they get chosen, they know at least recruit-wise, they can make the case for somebody. They've already started talking about guys that will be in next year's draft. And I'm curious to see what Marvin Harrison does, Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State does, because they're talking about him like he's the truth. But they're making money hand over fist in Kansas City, had over 125,000 people all into it.
What did the
New England Patriots do?
I have not been following this as much as I would like to. I'm not sure what the deal is with what they've done, Gary. I'll be honest with you.
All right.
I like to move on to hockey.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen the best hockey I've ever seen in all time. And I've been watching hockey for about 40 years. Last night, the Dallas Stars.
You mean the Dallas Ping Ping Stars Ping Ping?
That's right. They go, who won? And tonight, oh boy, it's going to be the New Jersey Devils. New Jersey Devils against the New York Rangers in the Garden. Like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, well, you know, now you want me to speak as an Islander fan in this, or you want me to speak as an analyst in this? Well, if the Devils send them red, white, and blue idiots home, it's all right by me. Be all right by me. I wouldn't bother me one bit. Would not bother me one bit.
The Boston Bruins lose Game 7. Nobody will want a President Cup ever again. I'm telling you that.
Well, you know what? They're gonna get in line with it. They're gonna get in line with everybody else that led the league for 3 months and then lost home court in 3 hours. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens, man. It happens.
Michael, the city of Calgary.
Yes.
Calgary Flames. We'll be in a new stadium in 2025. That'll be the new stadium.
Right.
And Calgary voted it in. There'll be more Dome.
But you see, there's a little more at stake for the Canadian franchises. You're talking about a piece of their culture. This is not where you take franchises and just move them around. You know, Calgary, Montreal, Edmonton, Vancouver, those places have much more meaning when you talk about hockey. And
will that be your team and go back to any soon?
It depends on who you talk to because, you know, there are a lot of people felt like that they got screwed during the whole Vegas thing, because remember, they were them, Vegas, and I forget who the third party was. That when Vegas basically sort of bought their way to the thing, and I guess in a sense that's what you have to do. Quebec took it personal because they felt like, hey, we're the traditionals here. Why are you letting these guys get over?
Yeah.
But let's put it this way. If Quebec had just gotten a bigger place back in the day, you wouldn't the Colorado Avalanche because the arena that they played at, the old, I guess it was La Colisée, it seated 6,000. It's barely 6,000-7,000 folks. I mean, that's good for junior hockey, but for the NHL, you can't do it. You know, Calgary had to bite the bullet those first couple of years because they just wanted to have. They were willing to lose the money. I would like to. Let's put it this way. I would think that because they've basically have added two teams since then, they sort of owe Quebec. I mean, you know, nobody owes you to be a success, mind you. But the NHL sort of like, you know, the NHL sort of owes them a favor for sort of screwing them over twice now.
I think it's going to be Houston too soon.
Well, and see, Houston's another one of those cities where they had great, you know, people forget, you know, that was the old Houston Aeros of the old WHA with the Howls and what have you. So they have, and I believe they have a minor league team there now as well.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's probably not anything that Gary Butthead is doing, but. The NHL is prospering right now. You know, I think from what I can gather, the ratings are have been much bigger.
Because they're broadcasting more games.
That was the other point. You know, them going back to ESPN probably did more than we thought, because now, I mean, look. If you're a hockey fan and you have ESPN Plus or what have you, you can basically watch a handful of games every night. Now, this thing with Bally's, formerly all those Fox Sports channels and the whole thing with the Bally thing, that has probably hurt some of the American teams because they've had to declare bankruptcy in certain instances, and it's hurt. But with all that being said, why not try to get into Quebec? Because you build up, if nothing else, you're building up your Canadian base. And see, you know, we here as Americans may not get it, but it's important that they have that Canadian base. I mean, Toronto, yeah, you got Montreal. Yeah, you got Vancouver and Calgary, you know, Beavis and Butthead of the West, but Quebec, you know, Quebec is just as much of a big area of fans as
exactly.
and they probably, if they're gonna do it, they're gonna do it soon because right now they're everything points upward for them right now. Playing something.
And they can talk to just as much shit about hockey as they want.
During the COVID-19 year, they had a Canadian division. I like that. I need to go back to at least one team will make it to the quarterfinals.
I think they will. I think, you know, The thing is, and again, got to give the NHL credit. They have, you know, for the most part, the moves that they've made over the past few years or whatever, everything has worked out great. Everything has worked out perfectly, absolutely perfectly for them. You know, again, it wasn't like the NBC contract was terrible. They got, you know. Getting the NBC contract probably built the base for them to get that to get the contract with the Mouse. And it's worked. Let's face it, it has worked tremendous.
TNT and TBS.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, that really boosts it.
Well, and see,
Thursday night, I guys on my game. Wow, look at this, dude.
Sure. And see, in a sense, they're like the big boys now because they're on multiple networks. And that and look, you know, for the longest time, you know, the NBA, I'm sorry, the NFL was the only ones that could do that in a sense. Now they've done that. I mean, you know, we see that, you know, you see that with, you know, Major League Baseball with their thing with Fox the Mouse, Apple TV and what have you. Now it's interesting because I don't, you know, the other things that they've done, you know, those outdoor games that they have in Canada, I think that's been tremendous. And the thing about it is they've been able to do it for both the U.S. and Canada. And let's face it, that's tremendous. That's absolutely tremendous if you're able to do that. Because again, it's about
old jerseys. Oh yeah,
look. Anytime you can market, you know. I'm still not crazy about the wearing the road jerseys at home, but you know what? I'm not running the NHL, so I probably need to shut the hell up because they are doing it the right way in a sense. But that being said,
Edmonton, please. Do not wear those neon jerseys again ever again, please.
Gary, they're not, you know, with all due respect, they ain't going to listen to you because for every person that's like, I can't stand them jerseys. There's at least one person with burnt retinas that loves that thing.
That's all they need. There are more black players. Leave my boys in Dallas alone, baby. You know, Dallas, all right. Yeah. Anybody who can hook up Pantera with the NHL is all right by me. But
Evander Kane, I don't give what anybody says. Evander Kane is the best player on the planet. I'm sorry.
I ain't gonna fight you.
Gary, you said it last week. There's more black participation in this playoffs than there's been in years. I think it's 15 brothers, soul brothers on the ice, getting down, and Evander Kane is up to his game. And there's no way you can say it.
That is smoky, man. Smoky.
Yeah, he is.
And the thing is, again, it's just, you know, now I have to admit, because of a certain team on 5th and 33rd, I've been watching more of the NBA playoffs than I have with the NHL, because like the last few years I've been watching more than it's probably about even this year. I've probably been doing a good 50-50 with both the NHL and the NBA. But
okay,
as good as the NBA playoffs have been, the Stanley Cup with the overtimes or whatever. I mean, even seeing the Islanders get sent golfing last night was actually kind of exciting. Even though they wound up losing in overtime, but that whole sudden death overtime, and now you got two game sevens tomorrow, and you got a chance to
game six tonight.
Well, you gotta, you know, you got a possibility of the President's Trophy team being sent golfing again for the sixth time in the last 10 years or what have you.
It's the best. It really is.
Oh man, and the person kissing you may be either maybe Aunt Esther. That's the sad part about it.
No shit.
And
Toronto Maple Leafs. If they lose this game tonight, I'm gonna be upset because
oh man,
Toronto,
you know, I fear more for the city of Toronto than I do anything else because them folks have been stalking them. I mean, was it 1967? Right?
Yep.
Oh man!
They lost 9 straight. Games. They lost.
Yeah. Well, and see, look. They're sort of like the Colts before they finally got that Super Bowl. You know, regular season don't mean a damn anymore. You got to do something in the postseason. And the thing about it with them is they can't even get out of the first round. And see, first round in the NHL is you know, at the very least, you got to be able to get out. I mean, even the Knicks got out of the first round this year. Come on, y'all.
Hey, if I see an orange jacket, boy.
Look. I have a slew of Knicks fans who we've been through the good, bad, and the shabba ranks with this team, and. Now all of a sudden I'm seeing people that I haven't seen in years. Come to find out they got grandsons and grandkids. That's how long it's been since I've seen them. But now I don't subscribe to the whole thing of the league does better when New York and Boston does better. The league, look, tell that to Chicago. Tell that to Golden State. Tell that to Detroit. Please, you don't. I mean, would it be nice if the Knicks were a decent team again? Oh, sure, absolutely. Sign me up. But the league does not need the Knicks to be good for the league to survive.
Last year, I remember it very clearly. Last year, I wore a Knicks cap. Nobody knows. Nobody said a word. Nobody said nothing to me.
Oh, no.
Right?
Hey, look.
This year
Well, I've seen it both ways. I've had 7-year-old kids come up to me and say, "Your team sucks, sir." And but then I've also had other people saying, "Oh, you just on the bandwagon." And I always tell them, "Look, I am the damn bandwagon. I've been the bandwagon for the last 4 or 5 years. You know." So please.
I get guys coming to me and say, "Oh, good thing, man." I say, "Yes, been there for 40 years."
Usually that conversation is, "Oh, you're a Knicks fan," and the first words after usually, "I'm so sorry." No, that's usually it's like you had a permanent death in the family when you tell them. But that being said, let's see how it goes. Now, Milwaukee getting knocked off gives a lot of hope to a lot of teams. Here's the thing. This is basically another series where you're going to have to deal with another great scorer, and that's Jimmy Butler. And, Jimmy Butler.
Who in New York gets down Jimmy Butler?
It's not going to be one guy. It's going to have to be a collective, just like how they were able to. Now, the thing that Miami has going for them that Cleveland doesn't, Cleveland's a very, very good team. As good as Mitchell is, Mitchell didn't really have a Robin with him. He didn't have, he didn't have a Robin. Now, Jimmy Butler, you've got Hero. You got Hero out there. You've got they seem to have a little bit more of a supporting cast. So that's what, and see, but see, here's the thing. Jimmy Butler, to me, and I'm not saying he's the best player in the NBA, he's the most scariest player in the NFL because he literally doesn't give a shit. This is not a Patrick Beverly I don't give a shit. This is a talented guy.
That's right.
Exactly. Jimmy Butler probably comes as close to being as much of a one player guy as you can get. I mean, all you had to do was look at the 56 the other night against Milwaukee. That's the scary thing about him. And the thing about it is it's not a one-dimensional 56. Who's ever guarding him, and I'm going to guess it might be Barnett, A.J. Barrett, and if I'm R.J. Barrett, I don't talk to my family, my girlfriends, my siblings for the next week or so, because he's going to have to deal with it, remember like back in the day when Walt used to always say that the scariest guy for him to guard was Earl, he was more than overjoyed that they traded for him. Whoever gets that assignment for Butler, that's basically what you got. And then the thing here is unlike the Cleveland series, they have the home field advantage. They have the home court, but Miami also. Matter of fact, I think. If I remember correctly, I think Miami had the third best road record in the league, and the Knicks had the fourth best.
Yes.
So this is almost like another 4-5 matchup now.
Guys, I have to speak on this, though, not to change subjects altogether, but, as the draft is continuing, as it's winding down, that asshole Kuiper is getting into this by putting out the best players available. And it's like, how the fuck would you know?
He's made a career.
I mean, he's made a. I mean, he's not doing anything we don't already. I mean, I know it's irritating as hell after all these years what's worse now, Mike, is that he has minions now. That basically try to out Kuiper to see.
Oh God!
And I don't know what's worse, Kuiper doing it, or having another one of his minions
It's the minions without a doubt. Bill Chakas, I don't know if you remember the heavyset guy who used to work with me. He's a star fucker, and I know one time Bill Kuiper came in. He was all over him like, oh, God, can I have your autograph? No, I'm not saying he asked for that, but it was ridiculous like that, trying to play like he knew him and all that. And it was disgusting how he groveled in front of this guy. The guy doesn't know who the fuck he is. And it was like in 1994 when the guy said, who the fuck is Mel Kuiper?
Bill Tobin was my buddy. Was my buddy right after that. Who the hell is? And you know what? It was even better that he was half crocked when he said it too. But again, it's just, Mike, also it was just another one of those things where alcohol is truth serum, but
that's right.
But he ain't lying.
ESPN let Marty Rivera go. The reason surprised he got released. He cussed out another reporter.
No, another female reporter, yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
he was, yeah.
Well, she was trying to interview. I'm sorry,
I do this all the time. I think this is a sexist move by ESPN.
It ain't the first. That's for sure. But you know,
am I correct with this?
You know what? I'll meet you halfway only because remember they had another bunch of layoffs this week as well. To be honest, I think that they just used that as collateral damage. It's like, you know what?
Marty Ramirez, what a better reporter they got.
Oh, I agree. But, again, see, you know, I'm going to do this quick. I don't want to go long because I know we got to get out of here soon.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody here knows that I was at the Mouse 44 for many years. And I think I've told this to you guys. I think I have, but I almost didn't take the job there because of the corporate nature that, that they were back there. I mean, you know, they were, you know, they've, the one thing I've always said, they've never been benevolent kings. When they were the only guys in town, they literally, you know, flaunted it and stuffed everybody's face in it. Now, over the years, they've had it thrown back at them now a little bit more over the past few years. And again, I just think it's just, you know, it's karma more than anything else. With that being said, the thing with them is that they, you know, a lot of the decisions that they've made to me over the years have been more about the brand
than
anything. Well, that just goes along with the brand. The thing with them, and I guess all businesses do it, but it seems like that they take it to the extreme. The thing with them is about the brand. They will, you know, and they will ride you as long as, because see, one of the things that I found very interesting when Stu Scott was going through his cancer thing and what have you, and then he eventually passed.
Right.
Got to remember, and this is the nasty little thing that they won't say, Stu Scott was not very liked by the ESPN intelligentsia, even with his innovations and what have you. He was not very liked by a lot of folks.
That's right.
But when they're willing to exploit and when they're willing to push their brand, when they're willing to, in a sense, whore themselves out for certain things, they'll do it. And they did. They did that with Valvano when he passed, and they basically did the same thing with Stu. They did that telling you that Bruce Jenner, 2 weeks after he became a woman, was the woman of the year, but that's another 2 hour conversation in and of itself. But I include that to just basically, that's how, you know, and see, it's collateral damage. And I'll give you a perfect example of how that works for the person that winds up getting fired. And I was lucky enough to be there when Harold Reynolds was an analyst there. Harold, as you know, was on Fox. I thought he was fine, but you know
that's good.
And when MLB Network came along, I was so happy for him.
He got a job,
because he is in his element now. And the best thing that ever happened to him was basically getting cut loose by the Mouse. Yeah. And it's let's put it this way. Getting fired or losing whatever, and, you know, and maybe this is me being cathartic or whatever, but I think it just needs to be said. Losing your job to the mouse can either be the best thing that happens to you or can be the worst thing that happens to you. Whether it was the best or worst thing for me, just say it wound up being the best thing, because I never would have been able to get to BASN, and that's another, and that, again, that's another 2-hour story we can talk about another time. But I look at Harold Reynolds. I look at Maria Taylor. And there are others, you know, Mike Hill. Trying to think of other guys who I was able to work with. On the whole, working there is a very good experience because, as much as I've talked about it over the years, I did learn a lot from there. I don't ever want to focus so much on the negative without saying that there was a lot of positive that came from that. But that being said, there's a bullshit factor that's there, and a lot of it is because of the corporate nature of things. Now,
what do you guys think about the Giannis Amadico press conference at the end of the Milwaukee game?
I did not see it. Needless to say, I think he was pissed. It's funny because a lot of people are now trying to say, well, he's not an elite player. Wait a minute. And see, this is the problem I have with a lot of media sports. So you're basically going to take away the title that he won now because of this?
Well, my thing is this. This guy won the championship. He made the playoffs 4 years in a row. And this idiot has the same question he had a year ago. What's wrong with you?
But see, again, this is nothing new with these guys. It's nothing new with these guys. You know what I mean? Look, the very same people who are patting LeBron on the back for beating Memphis are the same ones that are basically saying, remember when they were 2-10? In many instances, you have very good journalists out there on a national level, I know what you're saying, and my point is, there are a lot of good journalists out there who know what they're doing or whatever, but unfortunately, you have a lot of folks who are charter members of the ex-girlfriend society, where they're just gonna bitch and moan about anything and everything that you do, and everything, because see, if the Lakers get, you know. I should say when, but I'm not ready because they're actually coming together. But
yeah.
If the Lakers get knocked out, if the Lakers get swept in four, the Memphis series is going to be forgotten. It's going to be like LeBron didn't do this and LeBron didn't do that, and they're going to talk about his mama or they're talking about his mama's mama or what have you. The very same reasons why they're jumping on the bandwagon now are going to be the very same reasons why they're going to go after him, like a jaguar on raw meat, in the next round. It's nothing we haven't seen before. And yes, it gets frustrating. It gets mad. It makes you want to go on an 8-state killing spree. But A lot of times, we literally I try not to do sports rehab anymore because it just gets frustrating after a while. But a lot of times you got to take a step back and I get it, you know, you want to get the information and you want to see whatever, but see, there's going to be another incident like that at the end of next week.
Yeah.
And there's
going
to be one after that, and there's going to be another one after that. And guess what? There may be another one after that.
Kentucky Derby is a week away.
Yep.
And what one of the horses we put down, one of the favorite Wild Ice, we put down because he broke his leg in three places.
Yeah, I was gonna wait till next week because my sister Jenny will be off for that, but the tracks and the issue of safety is something that they've been playing with hell. They've been playing hell with it for the last 2-3 years.
Right.
They got lucky in the slot, and we're like just inches away from a major accident. We're talking multiple horses and jockeys.
Yeah.
They ran 21 horses last year. And
ow.
They've got to set a limit.
It's too many.
I would say no more than 15. You know, there's a separate stall that holds as many as 5 or 6 horses, but leave the one stall.
Michael,
15 horses.
Do they have an entry fee?
There's an entry fee, but I believe they do it now on a point system. You're running X number of races, and from the points, you're on the list. The ones with the most points, the top 15, get rated.
Okay.
Anything after that, they go on to the alternate shoot, the 20. And if by chance somebody doesn't make it or there's a health issue, they scratch them, and they'll add who's next on the list. Which is what happened the year that Leon came on with the 21st horse and won the damn race.
Okay. I got to get one last thing before I get out of here. Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop Dick Groke, one of the all-time fans at 92 years old. I remember as a kid, the old black and white TV. Dick Groke, I remember that very clearly.
Pretty decent basketball player too, from what we all remember too.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. He was one of those 2-sport guys from back in the day. But yeah, he was a pretty decent basketball player for one of those schools in Durham, Duke.
The Dukies, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for a great day today.
Hey, we didn't do nothing. Yeah, we just followed your lead, man.
I'll save you some strawberry cake. Tomorrow's my birthday tomorrow. And I've been waiting for some strawberry cake all month. We shall see if it's worth the wait. But everybody, thank you. I'm in a village of love. I have a huge group of folks who care a hell about me. I don't know why, but they do. And I'm
well, you
take
it easy. Have a good birthday. Have a good party tomorrow.
Thank you.
What you got for
thank
a party?
Well, tomorrow we're doing the Ashton draft on the African-American athlete at 9 p.m. After that, we're going to count our blessings, 1, 2, 3, and all that good stuff. But we, again, are grateful that we got this far. You're 69 years old. You can insert the dirty joke wherever you want. But We'll do what we can.
Hey, Mike, I haven't eaten yet, so come on, give me, please. Help a brother out here. Try to help a
brother out.
There you go. Oh, and if you got $2 to spend, I say put it on Cave Rock.
Cave Rock. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for a great show. Good show today.
Thank you.
Not a problem, guys. Y'all take care.
Next week, there'll be no Music Box this week. No Music Box this week. Next week, it'll be Diana Ross. Next week. And now, the big tribute to my ancestors. I'm going to play this.
Where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Into the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Before the Europeans settled these American lands, the people already lived here. Understand, they roam the beautiful woodlands and mountains and sands that span of thousands of years, and their legend still stands. Way back in the Ice Age when glaciers froze, they crossed into Alaska, that's how the story goes. The tribes of the Northeast skillfully used bark from birch trees to build big canoes, surviving from gifts within the lakes and land, using stairs to fish and planting corn by hand. Iroquois to Delaware, Hopewell to Fox, just a few tribes from a region with lots. Down in the southeast with luscious and fertile soil, tribes learn to farm out in the sun, they coil. This life's a complex society with rulers so royal. There were builders and artisans and knowledge of medicine. The Seminoles were proud, the natives played the frost. There was a Greek, Chattahoochee, and Chickasaw. The Crow, Blackfeet, and Dakota, home on the range. Nomadic tribes that roam the Great Plains. In order to survive, they hunted the buffalo, shot stone tipped arrows at a distance with the bow. From buffalo skins, they made teepees and canopies. They tribe warriors to protect from enemies.
These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians.
In the southwest were clay homes known as Pueblos. The Zuni and the Hopi were the tribes who made those. They dressed in big masks and dancing for forms, asking spirits called Kachinas for a harvest of corn. For beautifully woven patterns, we looked at the Navajo. Apaches had the brave warrior Geronimo.
From the high plateau down through the Great Basin, tribes like the Ute survived through migration. Preparing for cold winters, some were found building earth-covered houses that were parked underground. Horses and bones, skins and hemp were traded with tribes from the plains for roads that parade.
To the rainy northwest where the totem pole stood, these were memorials to ancestors carved out of wood. Wealthy families had ways to show signs of success, hosting lavish potlatches, giving gifts to their guests. They hunted large sea animals with nets and harpoons, and lived in long houses which had one long room.
Over time, Europeans moved into tribal regions. Sometimes they fought war, sometimes they formed allegiance. The dark clouds rained down upon the trail of fears. Tribes were forced west from where they lived for years. This song is a tribute to just reflect upon. Today, American Indians continue on. These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within
another American Indian.